follow him. But I know one thing, there's some great things in these verses here. And you pray that I'll be able to get a little thought across. But Titus 2 and verse 11 says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee." Father, Lord, help us tonight. I just want to be a blessing. Thank you for this church. Thank you, Lord, for their burden. Lord, for missions. And Lord, but not just out around the world. Lord, I understand right now they're almost got a container load. And they've sent other containers. And Lord, we've been here many times and watched God beyond anything I've ever seen in my life. And in meetings here. Lord, you help us. And even tonight, God, would you help us? Make me a blessing. We'll praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, really, verse 11 through verse 14 is just one verse. There's no period or nothing. All that's just one verse. And so let's look at it tonight. And there's some of the greatest words in Scripture right here that we're looking at. And it's talking about what grace has done and will do and how it helps us. You know, it's a great, I'm glad for the revelation here. It says in verse 11, the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared. What about that? Grace has appeared. Best thing ever happened in my life. When grace come by. We're dead and trespassing and sin. Couldn't do nothing. But here comes grace. He said, bringing salvation. Won't never get over it, you won't either. It's permanent. Greatest thing ever happened to me is when I got saved. And grace came, showed me I was lost. But I'm glad it says to all men there at the end of that verse. I believe it whosoever will. I don't care what country, what culture, what color, what language. I'm going to India. Been there many times, but they don't speak my language, but I got to have an interpreter. Don't you thank God for interpretation? Even this Bible is an interpretation. I couldn't understand Greek and Hebrew. Had a little in it in school, but I can't read it and understand all of it. I'm just saying, it's been interpreted. In English, I understand it. And it works. And I believe for the for the English-speaking people, the King James Version, I like that. If it ain't King James, it ain't Bible. That's where I stand. That's what I believe. But I'm telling you, grace has appeared unto all men. I believe everybody can be saved. I'm not willing that any perish. He don't want one soul to go. He died for the sins of the whole world. But I sure remember when I got in. Boy, I used to go home, when I was in Bible college and things, I'd go home and I'd say, "Daddy, can I borrow your key?" And I'd go over to Brown's Chapel Baptist Church. And I ain't never understood this, but it happened. I didn't even come to the altar. I was back in the back, about three seats up. But I bowed between the pews, but I got it. You don't have to be at an altar. I believe two-thirds of the people, when they leave a seat, they're saved. They done made up their mind. Whosoever will, they done broke their will. They're going to get it. He never turned one away either. But I'm glad that, you know, it's for everybody. But, boy, I'd like to go back even now. But I believe I could go about that close to where I got in. That's been a long time ago. I'm 81 years old and I was just a teenage boy. But I've been saved ever since. I've made a lot of mistakes, but when grace comes to you though, and you get saved, with that comes some obligation. Verse 12, look what it says: teaching us that denying godliness and worldly lust, you should live soberly, righteously, godly in this present world. That's right now. We live in a wicked, wicked hood. There's not a person in here that ever, even young people couldn't imagine what's happened recently. We live in an unbelievable, wicked world. I know, I've said, God said it'd get worse and worse, but you never thought it'd get this bad, did you, preacher? Never. Now, what, the president made it, everybody that's been charged with marijuana, they free. He just gave an order of that, what, yesterday? You can't charge nobody for marijuana no more. Legal in America, ain't that something? Crazy. All this transgender stuff, it ought to be in, I don't know, I better hush. But anybody don't know whether a man or woman ought to be in an insane asylum. They ought to be in an insane asylum. They're crazy. But that's the world we live in. They really believe in it. Many of them, I'm afraid, has turned over to a reprobate mind. Romans 1. Boy, I tell you, but of course, grace will teach you not only just negative, positive, but negative too. In fact, it starts off with a negative there. It says, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust. You know, there's some ungodliness refers to, there's some people, like I was talking about, they have no place for God in their life, no respect, no, they don't respect authority, they don't respect His power, His providence, or His mercy, they just trump it down. The boy, they're going to reap one day. I don't want them to. I wish I could tell them. I want to tell them. And I do. I've seen many saved in different countries, different languages. And by God's grace, no doubt we'll have people saved next week. When I go to India, I preach 3 and 4 times every day. 26 different churches I preach in over there. But oh my, no. But I'm going to just keep it going. Ain't nowhere to stop. I know what this book will do. I've seen them. I've seen it happen. That worldly lust, though, that's just you ungodly people. They just long for the things that satisfy the flesh. That's all it is. And not the soul. I'm not worried about it. But I like the positive part of it. He said, there, he says, teaching us to deny ungodly lust and live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world. Looking for that blessed hope. Isn't that a blessing? But we can live soberly. One of the best, sweetest feelings that I've ever had, I guess, is when I know that somehow I overcome some temptation. I've lived right. I've stayed clean. That's a sweet feeling. When it could go the other way, I'm not above anything. But sometimes the grace of God will just help you to overcome. We can live soberly. And I believe that's a duty to ourselves, is to keep yourself from the world. Keep yourself. That's your job. We can do it. There's grace sufficient to do it. We don't have to fall in sin. But then it says righteously. This is our duty to others. If we live right, we ought to be able to say, Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. We can, I know your pastor is not perfect, but I believe you could follow him. He won't lead you wrong. No, I don't know. In my thought, one of the greatest men I know, but that's our duty to others. Just that righteous, just live right. You know, old Zeb McDerry's old mountain preacher used to tell me when I was a boy preacher, he'd say, son, do right, them blessings will overtake you. Just do right. They'll overtake you. Well, I'm 81 and I've tried a little. And God sure has took care of me and blessed. Got 7 children, they all saved, some preaching, some missionaries. That ain't me. But it's Him. It's Him. And then it says there in that verse, godly, soberly, live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. That's right now. Tomorrow, today, every day. We can do that. And I believe with all my heart, it wouldn't hurt us just to live every day in this present world, with that other world on our mind. I don't know anything that'll help you better. If you think he, you know, just live right for him. We're going to heaven. There ain't no sin there, praise the Lord. But I'm telling you, but I know you have to grow in grace. The Bible says add to your faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness. I wouldn't expect some of these young people to be where preacher and myself and some others in here is. We ought to learn a little bit, surely, in all these years. That I'm telling you. But I praise the Lord for grace. Amen. I mean, it's all grace. I don't know what else to say, but, you know, I was thinking a while ago, or this morning, I guess, I was looking over some scripture, but there in verse 13, it says, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, we got a hope, folks. Now, you're talking about a great inspiration. If you'll keep your mind, he may come today. Now, I'm about 3.5-4 hours from home, but if I don't get home, be all right with me. I'm ready to go. I'd like to get back to my family. I'd like to hope I get to go to India. I'm anxious to see all them people. Boy, when my wife had surgery, Sam called me, Sam Koala, he's our India director, and they called an all-night fasting prayer meeting for my wife. They're real. They know what real is. We about outgrowed it or something. I don't know too many that really get a hold of God with a burden. There ain't nothing God can't do. But sometimes we have to get a burden. And you won't do much without it, and you're hard to stop with it. I believe I can honestly say, if I've ever got to the point that I thought, Lord, if you don't do it, I think I'll die. He's come through every time, preacher. You won't get hungry much. If you really got a burden, do you think somebody's going to drop into hell and God's put them on your heart? I mean, I prayed 30 years. I've got 7 children. And you don't hang your dirty linen on the line, Dr. Siler used to say, but I had a daughter who got out of the will of God in Bob Jones University. Prayed 30 years before she really got right. But she's probably one of the most dedicated children I got now. Calls every day crying. Thank you. Don't give up. Oh, what an inspiration, though, if we could just keep it on our mind.
Yes.
It'll help us. It'll help all the other things to get in line. If you're looking for the Lord, that blessed hope, that glorious appearing. You know, I jotted this down. His first coming was the coming of grace. He had his grace that brought him here. By grace, through faith, are you saved? But he'd come. But that second coming will be one of glory. And that first coming was in humility. Well, you talk of being humble. I was looking today over there in Philippians, ain't it? Where it says there in, let's see, what chapter is that in? Oh, it's in I know, chapter 2. Boy, here it says, let this mind be in you, which is in Christ Jesus, also in Christ Jesus. Notice this verse 6. Who being in the form of God. He is God. He was God. He'll always be God. But look what it says. Thought it not robbery to be equal with God. He's God. We're talking about sovereign God. But verse 7, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant. Here's a sovereign God becoming a servant. What a lesson. You talk about humility. He become a servant, but it don't stop there. Verse 8, he become a sacrifice. He went to the cross. 2 Corinthians 5:21, he was made sin. I can't understand that to save my life, but I believe it. But he was made sin that you might be made righteous, that I could stand here tonight wrapped. When he looks at me, I'm wrapped in his righteousness. That's what will get me to heaven. But anyway, he come and was in humility. that second coming is going to be an honor. Yeah. Amen. That first coming, it was to a tree. He had to go to the cross. But boy, that second coming, it's soon to be. He's coming to a throne. Amen. To be on a throne. I believe God, well, in fact, Revelation 4 and 5. I believe God gets up and says, Son, this is your day. We're going to honor you for what you've done, going to shed your blood for them precious bride of Christ. We're going to get to be there. Amen. Yeah. Told him to sit down on the throne. Boy, what a, that's all up ahead yet. But I'm just telling you that cross is over. He's coming with a crown. He's going to be crowned. That second coming is our blessed hope, though. You know, right over here in Philippians, chapter 3. And let me read that there right quick. I think it's chapter 3. Chapter 3, verse 20 and 21 says, For our conversation is in the heavens, from whence also we look for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile bodies, that it may be fashioned like unto the glorious body according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Well, we can look for a change. We got, you won't have to put up the old body and mind and aches and pains, doubts and fears. One day that's going to be over. Come up hither. Boy, we'll be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. We can't hardly imagine. Well, you can't. Our flesh and mind won't grasp what heaven's going to be altogether. It's a blessed hope. It's a glorious appearing of our Lord. We know that. But in fact, Romans calls it a patient hope. We know it's a coming, but be patient. It's real. And of course, 1 John, isn't it 3:3. You know, it talks about a purifying hope. If you think the Lord's coming tonight, I believe we'd all be trying to get just as clean as we could if we're going to leap into His arms. And it's a purifying hope, a perfect hope, Romans 5:5. I tell you, I get inspired when I think about Jesus coming back. I know you say, well, you're an old man. I know that. But I get excited about the Lord and getting to go to heaven. It's real. Look up. Your redemption draweth nigh. Maybe today, maybe tomorrow. I don't know when he's coming. I don't think it could be very long. I believe we're about to get out of here. In verse 14 there, it says, Who gave himself. You talk about a salvation plan. Who gave himself that he might redeem us from all iniquity. Can you imagine? All the sin, even right here in this building, we wouldn't want it flashed on the. But it's forgiven. White as snow. Who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. I guess we are a little peculiar to this world. But I don't mind being called that. It don't bother me. But God gave himself. I tell you, when he become on the cross and come victorious over death, hell, and the grave, took my place, redeemed us from iniquity. As I said a while ago, we were dead in trespasses and sin, Ephesians 2. I don't know how you going to even think about that. We were dead. I worked in a funeral home for years when I was younger. Picked up hundreds of people, I guess. I ain't never had no help. We were dead. A dead man can't do it. Salvation's of the Lord. Boy, when he comes through the power of the preaching of the word, power of the gospel, the Holy Ghost, he can get them in. He got Paul, didn't he? Paul never got over it. You haven't either if you're really saved. I mean, when you think about it, and you have it quickened. I'm glad we have to read that in past tense. We can't even think of it. We have quickened. We're terrible. Wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, That's what's going on today. People just walking in the course of this old world. You know, and it says, according to the prince and the power of the air. You know who that is? The devil. Now, God's still in control, but it said, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience among whom, notice this, also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. It says, and by nature, children of wrath, even as others. You don't teach children to lie, cheat, and steal. Say bad words. You got to teach them. Train them. I mean, they're so innocent when they're little, but they're born in sin, like you were and like I am. Boy, don't you thank God for verse 4? But God, Ephesians 2. The person that delivered us, but God. We're under the powers of sin. But the person that delivered us, and boy, when you think about it'll bring praise. It'll bring happiness. When you realize you're saved. Over there in verse 11 says, wherefore remember that ye, being in past, in times past, Gentiles in the flesh, called uncircumcision, that which is called circumcision in the flesh, made by hand, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers and of the covenants and promise, having no hope. Sinner has no hope till God steps in. But I'm so glad that he can step in and does, every one of us at one time. You know, we just, and if we'll just get in and just help by the grace of God, that's what grace brought when he brought that Titus that he bringeth salvation. Oh, we're just dead and lost, but here he comes. Grace. Do you know the word grace in the Old Testament is 38 times? But the New Testament's 138. Whoa. Grace, 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 grace. If it wasn't for grace, we wouldn't make it. But one of the strongest hopes you can have is in the grace of God. I tell you right now, it's a blessing. And he's the one, grace, brought it to us. We couldn't get there, but it bringeth. The grace that bringeth salvation. He come where we were and brought salvation. And I'm telling you, but look what verse 15 says. And this is our duty, I believe. It says, verse 15, it says, these things speak. What things? What we just went over. He said, pure, zealous of good works, said, we need to be out there working. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. And all I can say is just, we just need to go tell. Tell people that God gave his son. That's simple, but that's what we're doing. That he died on the cross and shed his blood for us. Tell people that to live right. Try to encourage them. Warn them. Ain't that what it says? These things speak and exhort. So we leave here and tell people that Jesus is coming back. I believe very, very soon. Yes. You know, if I understand right, the red heifer's over there now. One of them I've been there at King's Ranch there in Texas. And the fellow started that thing. His wife's name was Gertrudis. And they bred up these red cattle. Saint Gertrudis is what he named them. And one of them's in Israel tonight. Out of Texas for that red heifer. Ain't that a blessing? That's in the Bible. Whatever that Bible says is going to come true. And we're just knocking at the door. But I'm glad that Psalm 126 says, he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seeds, shall doubtless come again rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Oh my, I tell you right now. And I'm just glad for the grace of God. You know, I heard somebody say it's, the definition is what would I say? Grace is rich, God's riches at Christ's expense. But I quoted Zeb McDerris there a few minutes ago, old mountain preacher. He said, grace is everything for nothing. That's a pretty good definition. That ought to be in a book. Grace is everything for nothing. We couldn't do nothing. But here comes grace with all of it. And he gives it to us, a free gift. Ain't that a blessing? And I jotted this down. I said, verse 11, grace saves whosoever will. Verse 12, grace teaches how to live. Verse 13, grace satisfies, looking for Jesus. Grace 14, grace secures and redeems. Verse 14b, grace serves. Be zealous. Do what you can according to your, the ability God gave you. Everybody ain't alike. I can't do what your preacher does. I can't be Sammy Allen or Stenett Blue. I just got to be me. Try to be something you ain't. You make a mess out of what you is. You better learn just to be you. God knew what He's doing when He made you and when He called you and put you in the ministry. And He did. He put us in the ministry. But grace secures. Grace serves. Grace summons. Well, wouldn't it be? I look at all these. I'm so encouraged, these young people. I mean, I looked up there and I've been rejoicing ever since I've seen them and heard them singing for church. I go in them churches where they don't have any. But boy, it's a blessing when you do. And especially when they know the Lord and they got a touch on them. I like it, I tell you that. But one day, I thought of this. Riding over here today, I remember having dinner with Dr. Seitler and some other men. And one of the men writes songs. You'd know him probably if I called his name. But Dr. Seitler said, I want you to write me a song on dying grace. And he went through his whole life. He said, I've enjoyed grace for this and grace for that. He just kept naming the grace that he had in his life. But he said, I'm getting old. I'm going to die. And I know it's there, but write me a song on dying grace, Tom. That's who we call him. All of grace is my story all the way from earth to glory. Since by grace, oh my, he wrote that song, New Grace. But there'll be new grace when it's my time to die. And he come back in about 2 weeks. He's going to Texas to preach. Handed me that song. Tell Dr. I said, take that to Dr. Seitler. He said, there's his song on dying grace. New grace. Grace will be there, folk. Yeah. As sure as it saved you, he said, I'll never leave you, never forsake you. And the Bible says, I change not. So just get in this book and get you some promises. Hang on. We're going to finish well. Amen. And do everything we can to get the gospel out as long as we can. Old Stenny, you say, I want to do all I can, while I can, everywhere I can, and when I cannot. I won't wish I would have when I could have. And I've adopted that. I want to do all I can. I've asked the Lord many times, Lord, let my last days be my best days. And so far, He's treated me pretty good. But and I know that's scattered, but that's what the Lord put on my heart. As sure as I'm standing here, it's just that grace. I'm going to preach on grace and that dedication out of Ephesians, the whole book of Ephesians, grace, but that first chapter. And I wanted to preach that tonight just to test it out, but the Lord wouldn't let me. So you pray for me. I'll be preaching about you, though, when I get this week, really coming up. In India, I'll dedicate those churches and preach it many times in other churches. But you just pray that God will keep us safe. Sometimes it's not easy to get in. They question you pretty tight. But so far, the Lord's never turned us away. And I've got to preach. I remember I was in India years ago. You probably heard this. I may have said it here. I don't know. But I was studying preaching in teaching in a Bible college. Hyderabad or something? And it just come to me, and I don't know why, but the word preach in English. Leave the P off. Reach. Leave the R off. Each. And boy, that hit me. Preach, reach, each. God chose the foolishness of preaching to save those that are lost. That's all we can do is just preach and sow the seed. Sow the seed. You can't go. I told a preacher this earlier. Every Bible you send, you can't send it to the wrong field. It's good seed. And some of it will come up. There'll be fruit from that. And if it's just one, it'd be worth it, but you never know. And you pray that we'll see people saved in the next 10 days. I'll be there 10 days. Pray that God will help us and take care of us and keep us safe. You know, 2 or 3 years ago, I was over there, and they about beat one of the preachers to death with sticks. I mean, they're about as bad as Muslims as far as hating the gospel. Where we got this church, and I'll be named after you. So those older men, they called me, wondering what to name it. I said, Ridgeview. It just popped my mind. But you know, the younger men bowed up, and had not those 7 men already signed their name, we wouldn't have got it like we did. They went, I guess, what we'd call the court. Young men didn't want to do it, but they already had those 7 men in that village that signed it. And they overruled it, and we got a church built. Beautiful church. A good church. Be there till the rapture, I guess. Ridgeview Baptist Church. So see you, India. But that's grace. Bringing salvation to India. This church has got a part in it, and you got a plaque to remind you of it. Amen. I love you. Pray for us. Yeah, preacher, you can have that if you want it. I don't know where you... Okay.